This week could be another major chapter in the 60-year history of Kohl's department stores. At a meeting Wednesday, shareholders are expected to vote on whether to approve a board of directors endorsed by the Menomonee Falls-based retailer or directors backed by an activist investor company. It comes as there are ongoing headlines about several firms reportedly being interested in buying Kohl's, which employs about 4,000 people locally. Former Kohl's executive Jeff Russineau is author of the book The Rise and Stall of Kohl's Department Stores. He told us there have been other major changes in the company over the years, including back in the early 1970s, after the founding Kohl family sold the stores to British American Tobacco U.S., or BATIS.
Well, in the 1970s and 80s, Kohl's was basically a low, cheap discounter. Linoleum floors, long lines at the register. I kind of call it pack it high, let it fly. The first chapter of my book, I call it cheese balls in the aisles. And by the mid-80s, in 1986, the British American Tobacco U.S. retail divisions were struggling. Not so much Kohl's per se, but all the other higher-end retailers were struggling, and BATIS decided they just wanted out. So they started selling off all these divisions. It all culminated in 1988, where three guys orchestrated a leveraged LBO. Bill Kellogg, who was the longtime head of Kohl's during the, 70s and 80s, one of his key operational lieutenants, John Herma, who actually, I believe, he triple mortgaged his home to help with the leveraged buyout. And a third person, they needed kind of a Garmento merchant to help with their big pivot and their change in their business model, a guy named Jay Baker, who had Gimbel's background. And they ended up getting some capital after they pitched Morgan Stanley's buyout fund. They got $300 million, and they were able to convince British American Tobacco, even though the deal was apparently light compared to a couple other offers, that they would accept the offer. The three guys, Kellogg, Baker, and Herma, had been working on a totally new business model. They basically set up something that I wrote about that I called the wedge. It was really just becoming a store in between a Target and a traditional department store.
From 88 on, for at least 20 years, there was pretty much this sustained growth. We'd see these press releases, Kohl's adding a store in a new market, and they've gotten up over 1,100 stores nationwide.
That was, during those times, it was pedal to the metal, and it was just fantastic. And the stores were just performing really well.
So good times don't roll on forever. What's been the big change since the go-go years? Is it other brick-and-mortar competition, or is it online retailers?
All the above. We were just really late to the party with e-commerce. There was a lot of hesitancy. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And things just started just to change. You know, you just didn't have that ramp up on the stock price. So, I mean, when you get down to it, Kohl's has had a fantastic run. All retailers have life cycles. In my book, I put a list of all the stores that were out there in the 1970s and 80s and 90s that are no longer. It's just like any other industry, right? It's just shocking that how many of these things change and morph through bankruptcies, consolidations, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, big box retailing is no different.
So finally, based on your experience as a business executive, a retailing executive, what should we look for in the days ahead?
I'm not sure how this is all going to play out with respect to the activists and changes in the board and potential acquisitions and so forth. They are looking at smaller size stores. They've done that in the past, as you, Chuck, probably are aware. I think they're trying to figure out what can they tweak to improve the overall performance. But fundamentally, it's a company that is performing well. But as you said, they've kind of hit a saturation point. That 1,100 stores, you know, you look at these other major retailers out there, there's not other places to go. So they're kind of toward, they've maximized the truly major upside opportunity. And it's just a different dynamic. It's a different business model.